I'm Jeff, the first team coach driver, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 31 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello for the 31st time.
And Cookie.
Hello.
Have you been on all 31 episodes?
I have, yeah. Oh, I've not missed one yet.
Tons.
As ever, we've got a busy episode. What we've got coming up on this week, guys?
So first up, we're going to find out what we got up to without football last weekend.
We're going to take a look at the game against Tonbridge Angels on Tuesday and hear from Neil Smith.
We're also going to catch up with our under-23s professional development side and what they've been up to recently.
We've got some news on our recent food hygiene inspection.
We've got some community updates to bring you as well.
There's also a squad update to bring you.
And we'll look ahead to our next few fixtures as well as get our answers to your questions from last week.
Fantastic. Brilliant. So we're going to start with on the weekend. We didn't have any football. Obviously, Orient and their FA Trophy exploits. What did everyone get up to?
I did soccer school in the morning, which was great. And it was a little bit less busy here than normal, obviously, because it wasn't a match.
What did you do? Did you take part in the first or second session?
I did the last session, actually. Yeah, it was fantastic. Great numbers once again. And then I refereed a karate competition and saw some old friends.
Of course you did.
Friends? I thought we were your only friends.
Well...
colleagues, anyway.
I don't want to be that harsh. I worked here with Matt, and then I saw my kids on Sunday.
Running? Did any running?
Did I run? No, I run this week.
Haven't you got a marathon or something coming up?
Have I? Bloody hell, let's get started.
Quick reminder, though, where can everybody donate? Is it on the website or on Twitter?
Yeah, it's on the website. Matt's going to put a tweet out and update the page.
It's yourself and Neil Smith, obviously, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And you're running for?
We're running for St Catherine's Hospice. We need a lot more donations. And Instagram the other day proved that I've been trying. I've done a big run the other day. Well, a big run the other day. It's starting to build it up a bit more and more now. I've done 13.5K, which is about 8 miles. Felt good.
You've only got to run 3 times that.
Yeah, I've got more in the tank. I'll just ease myself. More in the tank.
Love that. Right, I think we've lost all our listeners. But anyway, if they're still listening. Obviously, football, Tunbridge Tuesday night, bit of cup romance, semi-final of the Kent Senior Cup. I thought it was a Kent Reliance Senior Cup, but apparently that sponsorship's over. We found that out, didn't we, on Twitter?
Not anymore.
Job done in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, professional performance wasn't the most exciting of games, but we're through to the final. That's what matters. And it was a JJ Hooper goal early in the first half that separated the two sides. Great following from Bromley supporters as well. The crowd was announced as 389, and I've got a feeling there are a lot more
there. I suffer from dyslexia, but I mean, I think their bloke did as well. I mean, more like the other way around, wasn't it? I mean, I thought it was a great show. I thought it was at least 100-150 Bromley fans.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, definitely more than the 376 or whatever it was. But
good to see some players as well that don't always get as much game time, getting a run out, being able to show what they can do, especially some of the younger players. Shaker Kamara coming on as well.
Oh, I love
late
that.
On.
That'd be brilliant. I mean,
first year academy student making his first team debut. Fantastic. Billy Krask, the under-23s player as well, coming on and doing a great job. So, yeah, it was a good night for them to be able to blood some of the younger players as well, which was really good to see.
And I managed to catch up with Neil Smith after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Neil Smith, congratulations through to the Kent Senior Cup final. Delighted and an impressive display featuring a couple of academy.
Yeah, no, I thought it was, you know, we made it hard for ourselves, but, you know, we had the weekend off, and to get that game under our belt was needed going into a tough game at Braintree. So, yeah, to make the final and bring on a 17-year-old kid for his debut for us was amazing, you know, and I thought, Billy, when he come on, Billy Krass, it's brilliant. We're a club that's looking to develop our own players, and I think it proves that we are getting there.
A lot of potential there from the two starlets that come on, but also, these two players that you've been monitoring and been liaising with Mark Hammond in the academy?
Yeah, Billy Krass has been with us for a little while now, training with the first team all the time, and he's been in and around it, and he's just trying to give him the right game time to show what he can do. The young lad that come on up front was a little bit different. He's, He's been in Brownie's under 18s. He's done really, really well. And Brownie recommended him literally today. So on that recommendation, I thought, well, we've got nothing to lose. Let's give him a go. And I thought he showed enthusiasm. You know, the tackle into the keeper, I've never seen anything like it in all my life. But it showed his commitment to the club. And like I said, you know, we want to develop our own players. And I think we've, you know, with the young lads that are coming through like that, to have the likes of Alan Dunn and Roger Johnson at the back, who played at the highest level, to guide them through as well was brilliant. So tonight was a special game in that respect, that you played the youngsters that are like the future of this club, with some of the boys that have, you know, had their chance and been there and done it.
The other semi-final took place tonight, and obviously Maidstone, the victors over Gillingham. So we're going to be facing Maidstone for one last time this season.
Yeah, our local rivals, be a cracking game. You know, I've said it for a little while now, the supporters have all been jumping on me about getting to the final with this cup. I've always wanted to go and try and do it, but, you know, other times it's something else that we're playing for. So to get there, hopefully that makes them happy, and we get a game hopefully at our place in the final, and you know, go and win it.
And that's it. And I know it's classified as a reserve fixture, but to have the Bromley fans that turned out tonight, well over 100 showing their support.
I think they saw that we didn't take it as a reserve fixture. You know, we had first team players out there. You know, you had Hoops up front, you had Omar up front. I showed that my commitment to the supporters to say that we wanted to get there. We've got there. So the supporters, I say it all the time, I can't thank them enough, and hopefully that's a little bit of payback for what they've wanted.
Fantastic, and obviously looking forward to Braintree now. A few players coming back, a few rested tonight, and going up to Essex on Saturday with confidence.
Yeah, tough game. They always are, Braintree. You know, and I know people are saying that they've got nothing to play for, and you know they're probably down. But you see the last couple of results. You know, they've beaten Sutton. They've only just lost to Solihull. They're a strong side, and maybe they're trying to play for their future somewhere else. So they're not going to roll over. It is a tough game. It always is when we play there. I do have players coming back from injury. I do have players that obviously couldn't play tonight available, so it gives us a strong squad to choose from for Saturday.
That's it. Neil Smith, thank you very much.
It was brilliant. It was great to see you. And obviously a cup final awaits. Obviously we've been speaking with the Kent FA and Maidstone, and I think we've sort of hopefully come to some kind of agreement, but I think it's going to the Kent FA board or whatever, however it works, on Monday. So we're hoping to have some more news on that on Monday afternoon, hopefully. We think they're going to confirm it. We put early next week, haven't we, because you never know. We're hopeful. We want to be able to host it here, don't we? It'd be nice to have it here. But yeah, as soon as we've got more details on that, we'll obviously share with everyone and let everyone know. Obviously, Maidstone being the opposition. They had an eventful night. They played the same night, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And obviously, Cookie and I were keeping up to date with that on the commentary, weren't we? And it turned out to be a victory on penalties for Maidstone.
Yeah, it was. I think they come.
I forgot you guys commentated.
Yeah, they come.
We should have probably cut your audio, shouldn't we? Of the momentous occasion when we scored the goal.
I thought you did.
Oh, I forgot.
I think Gillingham went 1-0 up, and then obviously Maidstone coming back into it, showing fighting spirit, managing to win on penalties against a very strong Gillingham side, which featured a few first team players as well.
Yeah, Josh Reece,
he was. Yeah, Regan Charles Cook as well. Obviously, he played against us a few times over the years. So, yeah, mix of youth and experience, but Maidstone the winners on penalties, and that's who we're going to face.
And obviously, for them, it's. Are they down yet, or are they still right in the mix down there?
They're 1 point above Braintree, but they've got a game in hand over them, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, so it's not over till it's over?
Mathematically, no, but it's highly unlikely because of the sheer amount of games they'd have to win and results to go their way to stay up.
Blimey.
John still come out the other day, said while he's looking to build on next year, that he's not giving up on this season, is he?
I don't think you would come out and say that there's a write-off yet. But
anyway, back to us. Our under-23 development side were in action. What were you eating over there?
Matt?
Your under-23, our under-23 development side were back in action last Friday, Matt. It was at Hayes Lane, wasn't it?
It was. While Cookie's just chewing on his food, I'll carry on this one. It was good to stay on and watch that one, actually.
Nap Hill Reserves, wasn't it?
Nap Hill, yes. Nap Hill. Great game.
Where are they from?
Nap Hill.
Oh, sorry, go on.
Nap Hill were the opposition. And it was a more experienced under-23 side than we saw the week before lose out against Aldershot Town. And it was a very professional performance. 6-0
I was in Surrey
in the end. Interesting. 6-0 victory in the end, and Spencer Cripps with a hat-trick, which was great to see, and they were just in control of the game from start to finish. So credit to Danny Mills for that one.
Brilliant.
Just go through it, sorry. They also played in the trophy, the Shield the other day as well. Last night, they played down in Lingfield.
Was it Wednesday?
Yeah, they took it to extra time.
They
did lose again, but yeah, it wasn't penalties. 4-2, I believe, but they're back in action again down at Lingfield next Wednesday in the Cup.
So is it a plate?
Oh, is it the plate?
I think it's a plate. So it's a plate semi-final. That was a quarter-final they lost last Wednesday.
They lost the quarter-final of the Cup.
Yeah.
And now they're in the semi-final of the plate against Lingfield next week, so they'll be back down there.
I hope that's clear for everyone. Best of luck to Danny Mills and the boys there next week. Hopefully, I think we're possibly getting down. It's actually on the Tuesday, I think. It's Tuesday night.
Yes,
kick-off 7:45. We'll try and get the details on the website this weekend. I quite look forward to it. I haven't been to the Lingfield for... I think it was an FA Youth Cup years ago.
Yeah.
I think we were filming on top of a steel container because it was like the only height area. Anyway. Moving slightly away from football... We had a really random thing. I always like to speak about everything that goes on off the field here, and we've got a fantastic team off the field work behind the scenes. We had a food hygiene inspection, a couple of weeks ago, completely out of the blue. Come in, I don't know if people see those scores on the doors, where they have like the 0-5 and they have a sticker, and I saw some come out on the usually a new shopper, they do some kind of promo over it or anything like that. I mean, I don't mean to speak ill with our local authority anyway, but didn't like the Bromley Civic Centre get like 1 out of 5, 1 out of 5 or something? Anyway, fantastic news for us. We got 5 out of 5. I think it's the second inspection we've had in I don't know, probably the 6-7 years or so here. So yeah, obviously a massive shout out to Lynn, Scott, Kat, Cookie yourself, Jackie, everyone else who does a fantastic job on that side, maintaining our standards and making sure we know exactly what we're doing. Back to football. Matt, the community scheme, pick a school. Obviously, I've jumped a bit here, but pick a school. Heartbreak.
Heartbreak, but what a journey.
Do you want to rewind and explain where it all started?
Now, I'll try not to talk for too long, but for those of you who listened to an episode... fair few weeks ago, we had a tournament here at Hayes Lane with lots of local primary schools. And to cut a long story short, Pickhurst won the girls and the boys tournament. This is the National League Under-11s Cup. It's a prestigious tournament across the country. And they progressed to the next round, which was the South East Finals, which were held at Sutton. The girls lost out, unfortunately, in the semi-finals on penalties. The boys were runners-up in the final, lost to Dulwich. But the runners-up progressed to the South Final. Now, the winners of this tournament get to play at Wembley in front of the playoff final crowd. And
it's
our boys,
for May, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Our Pickhurst boys got through to that, obviously. Unfortunately, the girls didn't. We thought, why not? Let's help them along the way. And as a lot of you will have seen across the social media, we lent them our first team VIP coach in association with Anderson Travel, which was fantastic. And I actually travelled down with them, and the whole experience was heartwarming. You know, you look at the faces when they come on the coach and completely shocked. I think one of them just said, I thought it was just going to be a normal coach. And we sort of said, no, we don't do normal coaches.
That was like Cookie when we first let Cookie come on the coach with the team.
Wide-eyed. Yeah. And the parents, some of the parents came as well, and Mr. Belgrave, the teacher. And in terms of the actual tournament itself, what a team they are. Some really promising young footballers there. They won all of the games in the group stages. They did not concede a goal. They knocked out the likes of Torquay, Dagenham, Redbridge, Leyton Orient. Dulwich, who beat them in the last final. They drew with them in the group stages, knocked them out in the semis.
Revenge.
Unfortunately, it didn't end as we'd wanted it to, because they got to face Oxford in the final, who they'd already beaten, and unfortunately lost out by 1-0, and that was the first goal they conceded for the whole tournament.
Heartbreaking. I must say, this was on the Wednesday after the Tunbridge game, so obviously we had a late night at Tunbridge, and I know you had an early start at Pickers. I think it was like 7 a.m. or so to meet the coach, and I couldn't make it. And I remember I was phoning and WhatsApping you during the day, trying to keep up date, and everybody, Ham O'Neill, everyone, were all in the building, and every time you were texting the score, we were shouting out, we were all cheering it on. And to be 1 goal away from going back to, you know, to going to Wembley for them. But for Pickhurst themselves, who, like you said, have done a fantastic job representing the football club, obviously they're representing themselves next week. They're in another national football tournament, Matt.
They are.
What obviously... pass on our best wishes, really.
Absolutely, yeah. This is the English Schools FA competition, which, again, a very prestigious one. And I spoke to Mr. Belgrave, and he was saying about how in previous years it's been held at the likes of Aston Villa and more recently Stoke City. So another opportunity for this side to get through and perhaps use that experience as a positive and make them more hungry for this one. Okay, so I'm joined by Craig Belgrave, head of PE at Pickhurst Junior Academy. Craig, it's been quite a journey for the boys and the girls. Can you talk us through it?
Yeah, I think it started back before Christmas, the competition at Bromley, which obviously the boys' team and the girls' team there, and a very, very tough competition that both the boys and girls were successful to go on to the next stages at Sutton United Football Club, where at Sutton United... the girls unfortunately lost on penalties, and they would have been joining us today had they won the penalty shootout. And the boys, obviously being successful at Sutton, obviously led to this great day today.
And just to put it into perspective, there, even in the initial tournament, there were a lot of sides for them to get past, so it's a massive achievement to even get through that.
Oh, it's an unbelievable achievement to get this far. I can't praise the boys enough. They've been absolutely brilliant. Each week they've got better and better, stronger and stronger. They've grew as a team together, and I'm just so proud of them.
And in a time when we're seeing women's football so much on the up, it's great to see the girls doing so well, unfortunately losing out in heartbreaking circumstances at Sutton.
Yeah, they've done fantastic, the girls as well. Credit to them. They lost on penalties to Sutton, the school from Sutton, and Sutton went on today to win the whole competition. So it just goes to show you how far the girls have come as well. They were against Sutton, they were the better side, and then obviously it's a lottery penalty shootout. Disappointingly, we went out, but no, the boys and the girls, they're great credit to themselves, to the school. They've been fantastic.
And a long day, obviously, for everyone today, but so many positives to take from it. Didn't end how we wanted it to for the boys, but they put in such a shift, didn't they?
Oh, they were outstanding. To not concede a goal the whole day and only to concede the one in the final. They beat every single team in the competition throughout the day today. I'm just gutted for them because I know how much they wanted to get to Wembley, but it just make them stronger for the rest of the season. We've got a big couple of weeks ahead. They've got another South East England final to come a week on Friday. They're in the quarter final of the League Cup. They're also top of the league at the minute, so they've got a big 2 weeks. So this will just make them stronger.
And our listeners will be able to hear we're travelling back on some sort of mode of transport together with the team. Can you talk us through how that happened as well?
Obviously, once we got to the final, Bromley Football Club obviously said they could provide transport for us, and they came up with this amazing VIP coach that the first team would normally travel on. When the boys arrived at the school this morning, I don't think they could believe their eyes when they stepped onto the coach. All the other schools were turning up in minibuses or cars, and there's us on this VIP coach. It's an unbelievable day, unbelievable experience for the boys to have this opportunity to travel first class on such a long journey, but it's something that I think they'll remember for the rest of their time.
Absolutely. And Craig, it was a pleasure to join you and represent the club today, so thank you.
Thank you ever so much, and thank you ever so much to not only Anderson Travel for the coach, but also to Bromley Football Club for all that you've done for the school, not only this year but previous years, that have made this such a successful occasion.
And long may it continue. Thank you, Craig.
Thanks ever so much.
Great to hear from Craig there. Obviously, absolute heartbreak when you were giving us the updates. But like I said, back here, we were all like on the edge of our seats waiting to hear from you and what's happened. Like I said, amazing achievement for them to get so far. Devastating for them. But like you said, we obviously wish them best of luck in their tournament. It's this week, obviously. No, next week, sorry.
It is next week, yeah. So best of luck to them. And obviously, we'll keep up to date with how they're doing.
And obviously, back onto Bromley News. Very brief squad update. Yeah. Reece Meekhams.
Yeah, so Reece Meekhams, as a lot of people have seen, has joined Bognor Regis Town on loan until the end of the season. So best of luck to him. And obviously we do something that supporters may not be aware of, is we actually have a registration deadline in the National League, which means we can't sign players outside this window, which and the last day is the 28th of March at 5 o'clock.
So next Thursday.
So yeah, if we don't, obviously, if we don't bring anyone in after that, it's not because
that's the squad that we've got left. Yeah,
yeah, that's what we've got. What we've got, basically.
Obviously, on the football front, next up, we're off to Braintree tomorrow. One of the most glamorous away trips of the season.
Absolutely.
And the trip's been made slightly more difficult by the fact there's no direct trains, Matt.
Yeah, so there's going to be a rail replacement service. Bear in mind for anyone who is getting the train or going to try and get the train, it is a replacement bus service, and it's already a very long journey on the train system as it is, let alone without the replacement buses. So if you are going on that route, you will need to leave a bit earlier than you're planning to.
No doubt. A great number of Bromley fans will make the journey nevertheless. I'm sure we'll get behind the boys as always. Matt, we've got some dates for the diary, have we now?
Yes, we do. So we were talking about April half term earlier off the mic, and we've got our popular soccer camps taking place during both weeks of the half term, or the Easter holiday, as some prefer to call it, apart from Good Friday, obviously, because we've got Solihull. But if you are interested in booking your child's place, they have to be 4 and above. It's great fun. A lot of you will have seen the pictures and videos on Twitter. The coaches are brilliant. They get to meet the first team players and the management and have fun and keep fit at the same time. So booking is available on our website. The prices are really, really reasonable. It's great value. And yeah, it's very, very popular. So book those places now.
Obviously, on the football front, after Braintree, obviously we're off up to Salford on Saturday, the 30th of March. I think United are home saying that day, so all the trains are going to be full and busy for those who haven't put their tickets or anything. And obviously, we've got a sold-out sports coach heading up there as well.
We do, yeah. Credit to Jamie Thomas for that. Obviously, been arranging it for a few months now. And it's, like you say, been sold out. So, again, should be a good number of supporters at that one.
And Orient at home on the Tuesday after, followed by Aldershot at home on the Saturday. Obviously, the most important news about Leighton Orient is it's all ticket, Matt.
It is, yes. So as we've announced on our social media and website earlier this week, that match is an all ticket game, so you will need to buy your tickets in advance, whether that's coming into the club office or buying them.
Hopefully it'll be a fantastic crowd. Obviously great memories from our fixture with them here last season.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? What a night that was.
And obviously the other remaining home games in the month, Solihull Moors on Good Friday. We're having a DJ after that, aren't we? We're having a Feel Good Friday, aren't we?
We are.
In the Ravens Bar afterwards.
Yeah, Feel Good Friday. That's
so we've got a DJ in the Ravens Bar afterwards for that game. And obviously the Saturday, the 27th of April, against Ebbsfleet United, it's a 12:30 kickoff, so the earlier kickoff. And obviously we're also going to have our end of season awards on the presentation, even on the pitch after the end of the game and that. So there's a couple of dates for the diaries. Make sure everyone's aware.
Yeah.
Got plenty of notice. Just moving back ever so briefly onto the community game. Obviously, Bromley Bells celebrated their first birthday recently. Hard to believe it's been going for a year.
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah, Andrea and the work that's been put in by her and also the women who come in week in, week out. It's fantastic to see how it's grown and the fact that we've now actually been able to fund it through the National League Trust. It's just been able to...
They're off to France soon, aren't they? They're looking for sponsorship.
Yeah, they are. Obviously looking for a bit of support with that.
That comes in with the Women's World... It's linked in with the Women's World Cup, isn't it?
It is, I believe. Yeah, fantastic. So again, a fantastic thing for Andrea to try and arrange and get the women to do. And obviously now with a fully qualified coach who commits to the weekly sessions, it's absolutely fantastic to see how they're able to grow as a result of the funding. And yeah, happy first birthday to them for sure.
Obviously, for those looking to support or find out more about them, I think they're on Twitter at Bromley Bells.
Yeah.
Right, we are. What did we ask last week?
We asked for your most entertaining Bromley match of all time. And we have had a few answers for it. So I'm going to start off.
Oh, most entertaining, of course, the free. Yeah,
so we did just put out a tweet a little bit earlier on regarding this. And I know there was some.
We
answers.
Had a few earlier in the week, didn't we?
We did, yeah. So Alex Chambers has said, I think my most entertaining Bromley game ever was the 6-1 win over Leighton Orient. That is a game I'll remember for a long time.
Michael Carroll, most entertaining, nerve-wracking game for me was back in 2009 when I travelled down from Staffordshire, where he was living at the time, to see us beat St Albans 5-4 away. It was one of those games that had everything, resulting in a pleasant journey back home. Hashtag Ravens Weekly. 5-4, I remember that game. I think St Albans, all four of their goals literally came from corners. Every time they got a corner, they scored. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
I remember you saying this, yeah.
And Eddie McIntosh also over on Twitter, Brad's winner against Ball and Wood, taking us to the edge of the promised land would take some beating. That was a brilliant, brilliant occasion. I think we were 1-0 down, I think, and they got a goal back. We got a goal back, sorry. And then a fantastic through ball from Jack Holland, halfway line. And Brad sort of away for 2-1. And like you say, that really set us up for... Because it was between us and them, wasn't it, that season?
Yes, yeah. Paul McKay says the 7-3 against Torquay, which obviously you had the pleasure of being at. I unfortunately missed that one. I wasn't very well.
That was
what a game to miss.
Absolutely off the scale, that game. That was, you couldn't believe what you were. I think when me and Cookie were commentating, you could tell on the commentary, you just could not
believe. And we went 1-0 down in that one, didn't we, as well?
Our forward came off at half time. We put Jack up front. Jack then scored. Oh, it had everything.
It had everything, didn't it? Eddie McIntosh, been mentioned in previous podcasts, I'm sure, but the small huddle of St Albans fans, one in particular who spent the entire game dancing around his Christmas tree, which was class entertainment. I think we won the game.
Oh, that was
1-0.
Actually brilliant days, wasn't it?
Not the best game, but definitely
entertaining. We were selling Christmas trees, mate, inside the turnstiles.
I know.
I've never seen anything.
And the chap, where's your Christmas tree? Where's your Christmas tree?
Well, it seems like a tenor from Jim Brown in the club. He was like, what is going on here?
Oh, well.
Did he run on the pitch at the
he
end?
He did, and planted
it on the centre circle. Absolutely brilliant.
Lloyd Chambers, loved the 2-1 win at Woking in 1991 with a last-minute winner. 2-1 at Sutton with Richard Cherry's missed penalty / header from a kick-in.
Blake, brilliant. That kick-in. Blimey,
yeah,
that's going back, isn't it? I think we should roll this one over. I don't think we've had enough of a response to this. I know you've got a few more. Sorry, Matt. So I'll let you carry on.
So Eddie McIntosh, he's gone for two. He's cheating a little bit there, but we'll have it. Brad's winner against Boreham Wood.
I don't know if you said that already.
The get out of jail last minute win at Lowestoft will always stick in my mind. That's Eames Kiwi on Twitter.
Oh, wow. I think it's Mark Cornell, whoever it was, saved it up the other end. Honestly, mate, defender. He won out one arm, clawed it off the line, I think. Cleared it right up the other end. Was it Tony Boot? Did he say who the winner? Who scored the winner?
The winner was... He didn't say.
I think it was Tony Boot. And we had... It was definitely, I'm sure. It was absolutely launched up the other end. And Lois, off the pitch that day, I promise you, the grass was as long as you've seen. I've never seen a football pitch with longer grass on that Bromley have played on than that. And, you know, we were at the time very good football inside. I mean, the team we had, that's the same team that did the Kent City Cup, the 06-07. You know the video clip?
Yeah.
Put it on earlier, Peter and Denny's goal. Barrymore, Sandwood, unbelievable team. Nick McDonald, all of them. And that was last minute. I think was that the goal to take? Where did that take us after that? Was it to Grays? I can't remember. I think that might have been the win to take us to Grays. And then the win at Grays took us to Gillingham in the FA Cup. I think so. I can't remember. But that was fantastic. Day on the seaside, on the beach beforehand, a bit of beach football. Yeah, I love that day. That's brilliant.
Sounds good. Michael Carroll again has gone for another one. I'm not sure if you read this one out. He's gone for two. I then witnessed another 9-goal thriller the following year, which was 2010, away to Thurrock, which he thinks was in the last game of
brilliant.
The season.
No.
Which ended 6-3 to us, and Harrison Dunk being one of those to score.
Was it 6-3? I remember. I'm sure there was like a 7-2. I think it was something like Boxing Day, and then they came here New Year's Day and beat us 2-1 or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Unbelievable, eh? Football.
Sorry, mate, you got another one?
Yeah, we've got another two, actually. We've got Big Norwegian Dave. Aldershot at home, first versus second, 1-1, couple of penalties, 3 red cards, 21-man brawl. We went on to be relegated that season, and I think they won the league. And Mikey Mike over on Twitter at MikeHead8. Great episode. Well done. All that's from last week. If I remember right, when we won Kent versus Gravesend and it was extra time but not penalties.
Oh, what's that?
I don't know.
I remember Kent City Cup 05, 06, George and Billy. One of George and Billy's last games. Played Ebbs Fleet. Yeah, right. That was it. Andy Walker with an amazing double save. I've got to dig out the video. That's been on YouTube or something. It was absolutely brilliant. I can't remember the fellow who scored. I think Craig Holloway was in goal for Ebbsfleet at the time. Or Gravesend and Northfleet, sorry. Yeah, I'll have to dig that one out. Yeah, we did. We won in extra time. Anyway, I think we should keep that one going. I think we're going to have a load more answers on that one, Matt. I think we've got to get it out there a bit more. I think we should keep that going for next week again.
Yeah, definitely.
So for those of you who heard that, been a bit inspired and sure as... recalled some memories that you've recalled. It'd be great to hear from you. Matt, how should they get in touch?
So you can email us podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk, or you can tweet us at @BromleyFC using the hashtag RavensWeekly, or you can simply reply to the posts on social media.
Fantastic. So yeah, your most memorable, no, it was most entertaining, wasn't it? Sorry,
yes, I'm entertaining.
Doing a cookie here. most entertaining Bromley game. It'd be great to hear a few more that we can share with everybody next week. Obviously on next week's episode, we'll hopefully have some player interviews, which unfortunately we haven't managed to get this week. Apologies for that. You've had to part with us. We'll have the Kent City Cup details hopefully confirmed early next week. Like I said, we're hoping for Monday. It's going to be a fantastic occasion. Obviously, Braintree tomorrow. Not too many fond memories from recent trips there, unfortunately. The FA Cup seems to spring to mind and other fixtures. But I do remember a game ages ago. Do you remember Salifu Ibrahima?
Yes.
Midfielder.
Scored the first Bromley goal I ever saw.
Oh, he scored a goal where we were battered at Braintree. I think they were flying at the time. And I think we'd somehow sort of got a goal. You know, we were just hanging on. And they were all over us, every single corner. And then all of a sudden, we broke up the far end. I think we had John Scarborough in defence. Oh, anyway. And, yeah, went out the far end. And Sally threw out of nowhere. Just this cross came in. He didn't even realise he was there. Everyone else was sitting in their own half. He's absolutely rose, headed in the back net to make it 2-0 or 2-1. Or something. I can't remember, but absolutely. Because they were running away with the league. I think they were running away with the league. I can't remember at the time, but absolutely brilliant. Yeah, hopefully we'll have a similar outcome tomorrow.
Well, hopefully. It's been a bit of a... Not the best season for Braintree. They are currently 24th in the table on 28 points, bottom of the league, obviously. However, they did beat us 4-2 in the home game back in October. They've had some funny results recently. They lost 4-0 to Harrogate at home, and then they went away to Sutton and won 3-0, and they missed a penalty in that
game
as well.
Didn't they almost beat Salford the other day or something?
Taken 4 points off Salford this season, so they drew the away game, and they were 2-0 up. Salford got a last-minute equaliser, and then Braintree hit the crossbar from kickoff, from practically the halfway line. What a crazy game. And then they beat Salford in the 94th minute in the home game. And they also went to Solihull last week and were actually 1-0 up and lost out to a late penalty. So it does seem that they're finding a little bit of form.
Still
now.
Fighting.
And yeah, absolutely. And they've got some good signings in. So no doubt a tough game tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see what the pitch is like.
Obviously, safe journey to all of those making the trip. For those of you who aren't making it, Matt, are you guys on commentary?
Yes, myself and Cookie will be on the commentary tomorrow from 2:50. So, yeah, do join us if you're not making the trip to that one. And there'll, of course, be the usual Twitter updates as well.
And that's over on the website at www.bromleyfc.co.uk, where the tickets for our Orient clash are also on sale. So don't forget, you can grab them over on the website. A big thank you to everybody who's tuned in, listened and downloaded to this episode. A big thank you to Crown Ash Developments for their continued support. Yeah, we'll be live tomorrow, 2:50 p.m. from Braintree. Otherwise, we'll be back again next week. Thank you. There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.